the pastor for a few minutes. As soon as a person, well, the devil has a counterfeit for everything that God has. God has his son, Jesus Christ. The devil has his incarnate son, the Antichrist. Jesus came for 3.5 years in the world, 3.5 years. The Antichrist is going to come for 3.5 years. Everything that God has, Satan, has its counterfeit. For example, you know what getting drunk is? It's counterfeit being filled with the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 5:18 says, "Be ye not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit." What is he saying? He's saying, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but in its place be filled with the Spirit. A person that's filled with the Spirit of God acts as strange as a drunk person does. He's as obnoxious to the world as a drunk person is. You take a drunk person. Forgive me for making fun of it, but I'd like to have a church full of drunks just one time and have them all have a lot of money. Did you can get money out of a drunk? I was on an airplane the other day, sitting beside a drunk fellow, and obviously he had money. He had diamonds all over, and he was obviously a wealthy fellow. And I just decided to see what I could do. Honestly, I got $3,000 of that fellow. Gave it back to him. He said, "Sure, you got a church that's serving God, I want to be a part of it. Have it." See? A drunk person is very generous. So is a person filled with the Holy Spirit. A drunk person is obnoxious to the normal society. So is a person filled with the Holy Spirit. I'm saying that spirit fullness is the real, and drunkenness is Satan's counterfeit. Now, listen. Satan wants you to look like a Christian, but not be one. He wants you to take his counterfeit. I'll say a word about that in a minute. Now, when a person is saved, or when a person is born, Satan begins, for that matter before he's born, he begins trying to give you counterfeits. Now, listen to me. Some of you folks in this room this morning are, your name's on the church roll, and you're a counterfeit Christian. You're not going to heaven any more than an alcoholic is. You're not going to go to heaven. You look like it. You sing like it. You teach like it. You act like it. But you're not born again. You have a counterfeit salvation. And I want to talk to you for a while, honestly, sincerely, lovingly, and with advice of a brother about this matter. When a child is conceived in the womb, Satan begins immediately trying to give that child a counterfeit salvation. Now, how does he do it? Now, I'm going to offend somebody. I don't want to, but I am. But I'm going to try to offend you. I'm going to offend you in trying to help you. A mother and father talk about the coming, expectant parents talk about the coming of a baby. And they want that baby to have the best of everything. They prepare, go down and buy clothing. The father buys the boy a bicycle and a baseball glove and some boxing gloves, if he has any sense, and prepare for the coming of the baby. One day they sit down and they say, "Now we want our baby to be a good boy or a good girl. So we better call the preacher or the pastor." Now listen, they call the pastor, and they mean well. And they say, "Pastor, we want to be sure that our child is baptized as soon as possible." Now the devil prompted you to make that phone call. Now tell you why. Satan is doing his best, before that child even breathes his first breath in this world, he's doing his best to take that child, give that child a counterfeit salvation. So that child will not have the real thing. He will never think he needs to get born again. And the child grows up and dies someday and goes to hell. Why? Because well-meaning parents did not get to hear a sermon like this. Don't misunderstand me. Sprinkling a baby doesn't send him to hell. By the way, it doesn't send him to heaven either. But it doesn't send him to hell. But I have talked to thousands of people who say, "Of course I'm going to heaven. I've been baptized." I mean by the thousands. I've talked to folks in the last week who've said to me, "Well, yes, I'm a Christian. I was baptized when I was a baby." Now, what is it? The devil tried to convince your parents to give you a salvation that was not genuine. It was not real. And you had an idea all of your life, that you're going to heaven because you got baptized as a baby. Now, you listen to me, and you listen to me well. I know this Bible. I have spent 28 years studying this Bible every day. I honestly mean this when I say it. I don't believe there's a subject in this Bible what I couldn't preach on in a 5 minutes' notice. Now, I'm no scholar, but I've studied this book. I have read this book. I know this book. There is not one teaching, nor one example in this book about baptizing a baby. Not one. Now, let me tell you something. That baby just got wet. Some tradition was handed down from one person to another, from one generation to another. Denominational tradition caused you to have that baby baptized. Now, I'm not saying a baby is condemned because he's baptized. I'm saying the parents are dumb because he's baptized. You don't like this? You don't like it because I'm trying to tell you the truth. I'm saying this. If you're here this morning and you think you're going to heaven because your mom and dad put a bib and tucker on you and took you down to the altar and a preacher stuck his fingers in some water and sprinkled your little crying puss, if you think you're going to go to heaven because of that, you're going to wake up in hell one of these days and you're going to curse the preacher and curse your parents as long as you live. You wake up this morning, you've got a counterfeit salvation. It's not the real thing. It's not the real snake. I mean, one of these days, in the end, truth is going to swallow up that kind of error. But the devil doesn't stop there. If the devil can't give you a counterfeit salvation when you're a week old or 10 days old, if he can't place in the minds of your parents some kind of little germ or some kind of seed to cause you to get a counterfeit salvation before you're a few days old, he keeps at it. He keeps at it. And he'll send you to some class in a church somewhere, especially during Lenten season. And you'll learn the doctrine of the church and the dogma of the church. You'll learn something about the prayer book. And then on Easter morning or Sunday morning, they'll have a service called confirmation service. Now you listen to me, and you listen well. This area is infested and infected with thousands of people who think they're on their way to heaven because they memorized a little catechism when they were 11, 10, 11, or 12 years of age and were confirmed on Easter Sunday, and they're not one step more toward heaven than they were if they'd never seen the inside of that church. It is a counterfeit salvation, Satan starting before you're born, trying to get you to take something that's not the real thing. But Jesus thunders out from John chapter 3, he thunders out the message, ye must be born again, ye must be born again. Twice he says, ye cannot enter in the kingdom of heaven unless you're born of the Spirit of God. Now listen, get the real thing. Don't settle for anything less than the real thing. But the devil doesn't stop there. There are millions of people today living in this world, and some are in this room this morning, who think they're going to heaven because they were confirmed. I was talking to a lady last week. I said, do you know if you died you'd go to heaven? Oh yes, oh yes. She said, I've known that since I was confirmed as a child. And I said, but lady, have you been born again? Well, she said, in our church, we don't call it born again. By the way, you don't have it either. We don't call it born again. We call it confirmation. Now, you listen. What the Bible calls being born again and what the church calls confirmation is as different as black and white. I'm not trying to criticize your church. I'm trying to get you to heaven. Somebody comes to a service like this, they get mad and huff out and walk out and say, he just criticizes other denominations. I'm not doing it. I love you enough to tell you you're going to split hell wide open if you don't get born again. And you better be thanking God that somebody has enough courage to stand up and wave the red flag and before you go to hell and let you know that you're not going to go to heaven because you got confirmed as a child. You've got to get born again. The devil keeps on. He keeps on. He starts before you're born. He puts in the minds of your parents, get that child baptized. And then if he can't get you baptized, he'll try to get you as a child. But then he doesn't quit. If he can't get you to have a counterfeit salvation while you're a child, he'll try to persuade you to turn over a new leaf and think you're going to heaven. Quit your drinking, quit your cussing, quit your meanness, quit your carousing, and you're going to heaven. Then the devil will try to get you to join the church. Let me hear me now. Hear me. Satan wants every living person to join a church. Satan wants you to join a church. The truth is, he had rather you join this church than a liberal church. Why? Brother, if you join some liberal church, you and everybody else will know you're not born again. The devil can get you to walk down the aisle of First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana, get baptized in this tank right up here, take the Lord's Supper right here in a church where people are saved, where the Bible is believed, where the gospel is preached in power, where the Holy Spirit transforms lives. The devil can get you to join a church like this and not be converted. He knows he's got you almost into hell because he knows it'll be the hardest thing in this world for you to face up to the fact that you've not been born again. Now, you better face this thing.
Do you have a real snake or not? You have God's miracle or the devil's miracle. I've preached from this pulpit again and again and again. The devil has a new birth. A person who's born is a son of Adam. A person who receives Jesus, the true gospel, is a son of God. A person that becomes religious without being converted becomes a son of the devil. A person is not born a child of the devil. Jesus said to one time, ye are of your father the devil. He didn't say that to non-religious people. He said to Pharisees, listen, a person is born a child of Adam. He comes to a place in his life where he says, will I get born again or will I join a church? Will I receive Jesus Christ and become a new creature or will I become religious? Now, what it is this. You're deciding to get born again. But you do not get born again into God's family unless you come to Christ by faith and trust Jesus. But if you become religious, you're born again into the devil's family, and then you become a child of the devil, and that's what Jesus meant when he said, when you do that, you make a person twofold more a child of hell than he was before. Sons of Adam go to hell. Sons of the devil go to a hotter hell than sons of Adam. Now, I'm saying this. Do you have the real thing? Have you been born again? Is yours a counterfeit? Oh, you say, preacher, I belong to the church. That won't do. Oh, you say, preacher, I was confirmed. That won't do. Oh, you say, preacher, I was baptized as a baby. That won't do. Oh, you say, I'm a good man. That won't do. Oh, you say, I've been religious all my life. That won't do. Oh, you say, my dad was a preacher. That won't do. That won't do. That's counterfeit. That's the devil's serpent. It's counterfeit. Do you want to see the devil's pride and joy? Do you want to see Satan's real display? His number one storefront display. Oh, you want to see the unsaved person that makes Satan the proudest? You don't have to go down the street on Saturday night. I was driving down last night going home and saw a couple of girls young enough to be my daughters. And they were attractive young ladies. Young girls. They were walking with hot pants on into that dirty, satanic little hellhole down here a block away, this tavern. It must have been 11 o'clock at night, or 11:15, 11:20. Walking in that place. Now, the devil doesn't. That's not his pride and joy. Those folks down there know they're not saved. They know they're not of God. They know they're unsaved. They know they're sinners. But you want to see the devil's pride and joy? He sits in the choir of a church like this and sings the special, but he's not born again. He sits in the deacon meeting we had last night. But he's not born again. He takes the offering, but he's not born again. He teaches a Sunday school class, but he's not born again. She sings in the choir, but she's not born again. She sits in the pews of a church like this. She's clean. She's honorable. She's honest. She's faithful. She comes to church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. That's the one the devil's got the closest. Listen, I can win 15 drunkards to every one church member I can get to admit their loss. I'm simply saying this morning, whose snake is real? Whose snake is real? The one who has the miracle? Not necessarily. The one who's of God. Who's of God? The one who has been born again by complete faith in what Jesus Christ did on the cross of Calvary. So what happens? The devil starts before you're born trying to get you to take a false salvation. Oh, I know folks laugh at me in town. I know folks think I'm a screwball, and I know what they say. Oh, Howe's always criticizing other denominations. Let me tell you something. You listen to me well. A man who stands behind this pulpit and have the truth of God in his hand and the truth of God in his heart, and let folks come to this church who think they're going to heaven because they got baptized as a baby or confirmed as a child or because they joined a church, if I wouldn't tell you the truth, I'd be the biggest crook in this town. You better stand up and click your heels and say, blessed be God. There's a man who loves me enough to make enemies all over town just to get me out of hell and tell me I've got to get born again if I go to heaven. Now, you better hear me this morning, and you better hear me well. If you have not been born of the Spirit of God, it matters not how many churches you've joined, how many communions you've taken, how many sacraments you've taken, how many times you've been confirmed or sprinkled or baptized. You've got to get born again. Now, you face it. You may be in our youth group. You may be on our deacon board. You may be in our choir. You may be in our Sunday school faculty, but you've got to get born again. Doesn't matter. You've got to get born again. You better face this thing. Oh, sure you get mad. Sure you get up and walk out. Takes a lot of courage to do that. Sure. I'm simply saying, one time in your life, you heard a prophet of God stand up and point his finger in your face and say, it's hell or the new birth. No other choice. No other choice. You've got to get born again. You've got to get born again. You've got to get born again. Young man came to my office last night. No, yesterday morning. Happiest fellow you'd want to see. He said, preacher, I got saved at the Sunday. I've been a church member for all these years, but I got saved at the Sunday. He said, God called me to preach. Well, I couldn't preach because when I'd stand up to preach, I'd say, am I really saved? Am I really saved? I'd go out to witness and talk to a person about his soul. And as I'd talk to him, I'd ask, am I really saved? Am I really saved? Am I really saved? He said, I'm the happiest person in the whole world. Well, nobody's as miserable as a person who's joined the church and tries to live a life of an imposter or of an actor or of a hypocrite or a performer. He knows in his heart he's not been born again. He knows in his heart he's trusting his own good works or church membership or baptism or communion or confirmation or sprinkling as a baby. He knows he's not saved. How miserable, how wretched, how foolish. But the devil doesn't stop there. So you break the shackles. You confess it. You walk down this aisle and say, preacher, I'll admit it. Your family's shocked for a while. Your wife can't believe it. Your children can't believe it. I thought Dad was saved. Your Sunday school class says, our teacher wasn't even saved. Those who sit in your class at the Hammond Baptist schools, and you've taught them as their teacher, but you're not born again. They're shocked for a while. Of course, they're pleased, and they rejoice with you. Anybody that's saved rejoices when anybody else gets converted. But the devil doesn't stop there. Now listen to me. The devil knows he has not been able to give you a counterfeit salvation. But he doesn't leave you alone. You have not won the victory. When the Israelites left the land of Egypt, the Egyptians did not leave them alone. They pursued them. The devil walks up and he says, okay, okay. So you got saved. You got the real thing. You got the real serpent. Now he says, I want to give you a counterfeit baptism. I want to give you a counterfeit baptism. He said, you don't have to get immersed. Doesn't matter. It's the heart that matters. It's not the heart that matters. It's obedience that matters. Suppose I say to David, take out the big garbage can in the garage. He takes out the little one in the den. Well, I took out some garbage. It's the heart that matters. My heart was in the big one. But he's going to be in the big one if you don't take it out. It does matter. Now you say, okay, preacher, why does it matter? Why is a person, as soon as he gets saved, this question has asked me as much as any question that's asked me across this country. Why do you baptize converts as soon as they get saved? I'll tell you why. We want them to start obeying Christ as soon as they get saved. Now why does the devil cause churches, and the devil causes churches, not to baptize converts immediately? The Holy Spirit of God never leads anybody to postpone obedience. Never. Anytime anybody postpones obedience to the Word of God, it's the devil that does it. Now why? Here's why. Number one, he wants you to begin bad. He wants you to begin bad. If the devil, knowing that you're saved, knowing that finally you have the real thing, if he can get you to begin the Christian life on a bad foot, then he knows that you will not be the kind of Christian you ought to be. The second reason, he wants you to always disobey. Listen, have the doors locked back there, please. Those folks coming in and out need not do that. And have somebody out there doing their job. We've got a couple of fellows out there with long hair who want to cause trouble. They're going to cause trouble here. And, they're going to have to get born again to go to hell like anybody else. And whether you like the message here or not, we just dish it out like it is in the Bible. Now, we don't prepare for what you like. We prepare for what you need, trying to get you to go to heaven and not burn in hell forever. Because I don't like that. Well, you just sit there and dislike it. But you better thank God somebody gives you the truth somewhere along the line instead of some little ear-tickling, back-scratching, nickel-nipping, penny-pinching, soft-toe-soaping, pink-tea lemonade preacher trying to tickle your ears to get your money and to get your membership. I wouldn't give a dime for your money. I want you to go to heaven when you die. And after you get saved, give me all the money you got. I need it. Show me a sprinkle soul winner. Show me a sprinkled soul winner. Show me an unbaptized soul winner. Show me a soul winner who has been immersed. You know why they don't go together? Because a fellow who won't start obeying Christ won't finish obeying Christ. A fellow who won't obey Christ in one command to start the Christian life, he will not obey Christ in the big commands. The greatest soul winners in this nation. Show me a man in America who's built a great soul-winning church who's sprinkled. Show me. God must think baptism is pretty important. So the devil tries to keep you from getting the real salvation. He works to give you a counterfeit salvation. But then after you get the counterfeit salvation, or get the real salvation and break the shackles, the devil says, I'm not through with him yet. I'm going to try to get him a counterfeit baptism. And so he works to do it. And by the way, this is why I baptize folks as soon as they're saved. Because I want folks, the minute they get saved, to get off their knees and start obeying Christ. I was talking to a preacher in Ohio. Maryland. Wheaton, Maryland. I preached in the high school auditorium there, and a girl got saved. And she said, now what should I do? I said, get baptized. She went to her pastor, said he was there in the meeting. He said, Pastor, I got saved. I want to get baptized. He said, you'd have to wait 6 months. And I said, why? He said, because we don't think she ought to take this step of obedience until we're sure she's saved. And I looked at her and I said, be sure you don't give any offering for 6 months either. He said, why? I said, we want to be sure that she's saved before we take this step of obedience. I said to him and I say to you, you never will be sure anybody's saved except yourself. Nowhere in the world you can tell who's saved. The Bible said, let the chaff grow with the wheat. Said, only the angels know and they'll separate them in the end of the age. You don't know. But I'm simply saying, I have done you a favor when you get converted if I start you immediately obeying Christ and the first step of obedience is baptism. That isn't all. You say, okay, I'll get baptized scripturally. I'll be saved. I'll have the real salvation. I'll have the real baptism. But the devil isn't through with you yet. Here's what he does. He comes to you and he says, okay, you've got the real salvation. You've got the real baptism. Now then, he says, get one of my preachers. Get one of my preachers. That Hiles fella hollers so much, you wouldn't like that hollering all the time. Church ought to be sedate. It ought to be quiet and worshipful. Well, if that's what you want, there are plenty of funeral homes all over this area. You can just go to church all the time. The devil says, get you some little quiet preacher. That's not controversial. Why, you can't even go to your cocktail parties. That's your preacher being cussed. I hope I'm cussed at every cocktail party in this city. I hope every time the dirty hippies get together, they hate my insides. Brother, I'd hate for a bunch of people trying to destroy America to like me. I'd be ashamed. Every once in a while, at St. Margaret's Hospital, walked down the hall, and a fellow walked up and said, you Jack Hiles? I said, yes. He said, boy, he said, I think less of you than anybody in town. And I said, hallelujah! He said, why? I said, I'd hate for a rascal like you to like me. And I would. Let all the drunkards hate. Let all the pimps hate me. Let all the red light districts hate me. Let all of the peddlers hate me. Let all the liberals hate me. But let me be faithful to this message of God. Now, after you get converted and get baptized, you find you a preacher, forgive me for putting it this way, who's a real snake. The devil wants to get you under a false man of God. You say, does he have them? Oh, yes. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians that his ministers are transformed into angels of light. Years ago, I got on my knees and I resolved that I was going to give my people a man of God. When I came to the city of Hammond 14 years ago, I was taken the first week or two, I was taken out to the steel mills. I made a tour of the steel mills. Now, I'll be honest with you. I never thought anything like that existed. I'm sorry, fellas. You work out there. I hate to criticize where you work, but it's not like taking care of an orchard in Palm Springs. I had never seen anything like that in my life. I didn't know anybody worked under those conditions. And I walked up and down those steel mills and saw those blast furnaces and tried to breathe, what some of you fellows breathe all the time. And I walked up and down that place and I wept like a baby. Tears rolling down my cheeks, and I said, oh my God, if anybody in the whole world ought to have some place they can go and hear God's man on the Lord's day, it ought to be these dear men that work out here in these places. And I get on my knees every week and I say, in God's name, give my people a man of God in the pulpit on Sunday. Find you a preacher. I've said this so many times. You find you a man of God that lifts you to God, who believes this Bible and preaches it. If you've got to drive 100 miles every Sunday and take your lunch and eat McDonald's hamburgers on Sunday night, you drive to that church and you sit in that building and you stay all day. If you've got to move to where he is, get your family under the influence of one of God's men, not a counterfeit, but God's man. And so the devil comes along when you're born. He says, I'll get you. I'll get your soul. I'll take you to hell. I'll burn you in hell. That's what I'll do. You just get baptized a baby, and maybe you'll think you're saved all your life. Or if I can't do that, I'll get you confirmed. If I can't do that, I'll get you to join a church, to turn over a new leaf. But if you do get saved, don't you obey. You have a counterfeit baptism. But if you do get baptized, listen to all the criticism about God's preachers. Listen to it. Don't you go to one of those old rabble-rousing hellfire and damnation preachers. Old Dr. Bob Jones Sr. used to say, America needs me. You recall how he used to say? He said, these religious perverts. He said, America needs nothing more than 3,000 preachers in pulpits across this country to preach for a whole year on, ye must be born again. And that's what America needs. You find a man of God and you go. And don't you miss. You get the real McCoy, not a counterfeit. Some of you folks this morning here visiting, first time you heard a man holler in the pulpit since last time you was here. First time you've heard somebody have any fervor. Why, most of your preachers couldn't even work up a good perspiration. Fellow doesn't sweat while he's preaching, don't go hear him. I often say some of these preachers can go for a whole week revival and take one shirt. And I can't stand these one shirt preachers. Boy, if you don't sweat one down every time you preach, there's something wrong. Some of you folks who go back home, some little fellow wears a gown while he preaches, wears a kimono in the pulpit. Not against kimonos, but stay in the bathroom while you got one on. Lady came to me 3 weeks ago, and as she walked out, she said, well, I enjoyed it. It's rather different. She said, you're not like my preacher. I said, thank you. I know him. You come to our church to visit. You live in California or Colorado or Oklahoma or Texas or North Carolina or Maine. You go back home and find you a man of God who believes every word. Well, you say, I just don't know what the man does or not. Well, ask him. By the way, if you don't know it, he doesn't. If you can hear a man preach one sermon and you don't know he believes the Bible, he doesn't. I recall when the Tom Bennetts came here the first time. They went to a church less than 2 miles from where I'm standing right now. I said the very thing I just said. I said, go ask your preacher. And Tom did. He didn't even know. Been going to church for years and didn't even know whether this preacher believed the Bible or not. He went back and asked his preacher. And the next Sunday he came here, and I guess he hasn't missed a Sunday since. That's been about, my soul, I guess, 10, 11 years ago. I'm simply saying the devil, look, I'm gonna be vain for a minute, but truthful. Most important thing in the life of your child, apart from his mom and dad, is his preacher. I'm in the meanest mood I've been in years. But I feel like doing this. You know why that all the major denominations can't find enough preachers to fill their pulpits? You know why? What boy wants to be like an effeminate, sissy, skirt-wearing reverend? Hey, you watch me for a minute. I don't know why I'm going to do this. I've never done this here. I do it sometimes when I'm preaching to preachers. And I feel like I ought not to do it, but I'm going to do it anyhow. Because I just feel like doing what I ought not to do. But these boys here they are over here. These young men. And they're trying to decide what they're going to be like. And so they go to church. Not a kid in that section says, that's what I want to be like when I grow up. That's what I want to be. Mom, I feel a call to preach. But you let some two-fisted, courageous man of God come out and say, this is it. And every kid over here says, boy, I'd like to beat somebody up like that. Find you a man of God. You folks that have moved 100 to 200 miles and sold your houses and changed your jobs to get in a church where your young people can hear sin condemned and sin hated and sin fought. You're the smartest people in this country. Not because you've got me. I'm not much, but I tell you what, I'm God's man, and I tell you another thing too. If you don't like me, you find you a man of God somewhere, not a counterfeit, the real McCoy, who walks with God. The devil isn't through there. The devil says, you were sprinkled as a baby. And just like Pharaoh of old, he starts getting the little children first. He wants to kill you before you get to. He can't succeed. He says, get confirmed. That's all you need. If he can't succeed there, he says, join the church and get religious. That's all you need. He doesn't tell you out loud, but that means you become his child. If he doesn't succeed there, he says, baptism's all you need. Or communion, or sacraments, that's all you need. But if you go ahead and break off the shackles and say, I'm going to get born again, and you do it, he doesn't stop there. He says, okay, you're born again, but I don't want you to obey me. No need to get in that water up there. You might catch a cold. Besides that, you've had air trouble for years. Besides that, that preacher, he didn't weigh but 175 pounds. He might drown you. I got a few folks I'd like to try, but he might drown you. But if you go ahead and say, I don't care, God obeys it, I'm not going to start the Christian life being disobedient. I'll get baptized. You get baptized after you're saved. The devil doesn't stop there. He said, okay, but here's what he'll say. It's okay to hear howls once in a while, but you wouldn't want him for a pastor. Anybody here ever say that when you first came? You wouldn't want him for a pastor. I mean, you know, he's more the evangelist. He's the kind of fellow that ought to be traveling and coming through for a couple of weeks and preach his 14 best sermons and go on somewhere else. But you wouldn't want that 52 weeks a year. By the way, in case you ever hear that come in your ear, you don't have to look to see who it is. If you'll just smell real carefully, you'll smell fire. Because he just came out of hell to talk to you. But if you do say, I know it, but I need a man of God. I need somebody to thunder out against sin, to help me with my kids and be an example of righteousness. I need that. Then the devil's not through yet. He says, okay, I'm going to give you a counterfeit separation. He says, why don't you quit your drinking? Why don't you quit your smoking? Why don't you quit your liquor, your carousing? Why don't you quit your cursing? And he gives you a counterfeit separation. Now, counterfeit separation is this. It's a separation from everything, but not serving God. If you'll check the Bible talks about separation. It says separated unto the gospel of God, serving God. I'm going to shock some of you folks, and I hope I can. Did you know there are probably 2,000 folks in this room this morning, or 1,500 anyway, whose place could be taken in this church by a corpse? Now think about it. Think about it. If you died, if you just will us $1 a week, then your place could be taken by a corpse. In fact, a corpse would fill up more seats than you do because he couldn't set up. Some of you are having a hard time doing that this morning. I'd hate to be the kind of church member whose place could be taken by a dead man. Well, you're safe with the house. I haven't had a drink of liquor since I got saved. Neither did a corpse. Do you know what? The beer business has been very bad in Elmwood Cemetery for all year. Nobody's cursed in Elmwood Cemetery except those that hear me preach out there at the gravesite. But not a corpse is cursed in Elmwood Cemetery all year long. They don't drink. They don't dance. They don't curse. They don't carouse. And if they left the church in their will, they give more than most of you do. Which means in most cases here this morning, in most cases, a corpse could fill your place.
In fact, a little better, because he wouldn't snore while he sleeps. I hate to be that kind of Christian. The devil says, I couldn't get you to get a counterfeit salvation, a counterfeit baptism, a counterfeit preacher, so I want you to have a counterfeit separation. As long as you don't do anything for God, don't teach a class, don't win a soul, don't get a bus route, don't do anything for God. I'll tell you what. I don't care what it is, brother. I want the real McCoy. I was in a house the other day, eating. It's been a year, I guess, ago. Eating. And I saw the prettiest bunch of grapes I ever saw in my life. And I love grapes. And while lady and the man was out of the room, I decided to see how they tasted. Do you know how I found that plastic is not very tasty? I hate counterfeits. I hate something that's fake. Now, other than you fellows who have toupees, I think you look lovely. And the older I get, the more I like one fake thing. But don't get your hopes up. But I'm simply saying I hate a fake. And I don't want anything that's fake. Listen, before I'd be a fake preacher, I'd walk out of the pulpit and never preach another sermon as long as I live. Before I'd stand behind God's pulpit and not be called of God and know I was God's man, I'd walk out that door. I wouldn't be a fake. I may not be a good preacher, but brother, as long as I'm here, you've got one of God's men, or I walk out that door. I wouldn't be a fake. I wouldn't be a fake Christian. I recall one day I was preaching in Lake Louise, Georgia. I preached a sermon on the wheat and the tares. I don't know why, for a short conference. It's been now 16 years ago. An old white-haired preacher came over to the lunch table. We had lunch in the hotel there, and services in the hotel. He sat down at the table where I was sitting, Dr. Rice was sitting, and others. Dr. R.G. Lee was sitting there. He sat down at the table. He sat beside me. He didn't even speak to Dr. Rice. He didn't say a word to R.G. Lee. He looked at me and said, you're my favorite preacher. And I said, you and I got one thing in common. We're both preachers. But anyhow, he said, you're my favorite preacher. He took me to my room. When I walked out of my room to go to breakfast the next morning, he was standing at the door. The man was twice more than that. He was 2.5 times my age. He went to breakfast with me. I was there for 4 days. He followed me. He wouldn't leave me. He bragged on me. He absolutely asked me if he could shine my shoes and press my trousers. On the last day I was there, I said, man, why do you want to hang around me so much? And he said, tears rolled down his old cheeks, wrinkled, snow white hair. He said, Brother Hyles, you're looking at a man that has walked into the sacred desk for over 50 years and who never has been born again. He was saved that day. If I called this preacher's name, you'd know him. His name is as well known as J. Wilbur Chapman, R.A. Torrey, nearly as well known as Billy Sunday. I was in Kansas City, Missouri. Dr. Walter Wilson just before he died. He heard I was in town. He called on the phone and asked if I'd have lunch with him. I'll never forget it, because I sat down at the table, and Dr. Walter Wilson was in his 80s, way up in his 80s, and he married a woman who was in about 40. You know, that's what Gypsy Smith did. His wife died. He married a young woman. He married a woman about 17. He was in his 50s. And somebody asked him why. He said, because I'd rather smell perfume than linen, if that's why, in my old years. But anyway, Dr. Wilson said, Dr. Hyles, I want to tell you a story. His wife, I don't forget this. His wife, she was drinking coffee, and she said, do you know what we use in our coffee here? I said, what? She said, extract of beef. I said, extract of beef? Oh, she said, you might call it milk. We extract it from the beef. And she said that, really. But anyway, Dr. Wilson said, Brother Hyles, I want to tell you something. He called the name of a famous preacher. You'd know his name. Anybody who's been saved 5 years or knows anything about history in America, religious history, would know this name. He said, he died. He called me to his bedside. And this famous preacher looked up at me and said, Dr. Wilson, I'm going to hell. And I said, but my brother, you've been saved for years. You've been preaching. You're one of the most famous preachers. He lived in Indiana much of his life. And the man said, I know it, but I'm going to hell. I'm going to hell. I'm going to hell. And Dr. Wilson said, but man, listen, you preach, you know how to be saved. I know it, but I'm going to hell. I'm going to hell. He said, I never have been born again. I'm going to hell. And Dr. Wilson said the last words that man said, I'm in hell. I'm in hell. I'm in hell. And the devil said, I was preaching one day, Bill Harvey, one of the most famous fundamental gospel singers in America, if not the most famous. He was my music director. One morning I was preaching, gave the invitation, Bill Harvey was leading the choir. Suddenly, he stopped his leading, walked around, got on his knees and said, Preacher, I've got to know I'm saved. One morning I was preaching in Garland, Texas. Mrs. Dorothy Lyons, Jim Lyons' wife, was at the piano playing. All of a sudden the invitation was going and the piano stopped. And I said, you know how I do. I said, Dorothy was getting off the bench. She walked over to me and she said, Brother Hiles, I never have been born again. Which snake do you have? Real or counterfeit? Huh? Huh? Let us pray.